Welcome to Pardes Daily, where you get your daily dose of Torah with Pardes faculty. This month, Pardes is bringing Elul to you. Let's dive in.
Hello, everyone. This is Michael Hatton from Jerusalem, and welcome back to our Pardes podcast on Sefer Yonah, the Book of Jonah. Remember the last time we considered the Book of Jonah and its location in the Hebrew Bible. The Book of Jonah is located in the section of the Hebrew Bible known as Nevi'im, or the Prophets. The Prophets are divided into two major sections, Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim. Nevi'im Rishonim describe a historical linear story, the rise and fall of the first Jewish commonwealth, as recounted in Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. This is a story that unfolds over approximately 1,000 years and describes the entry of the people of Israel in the land on the one end, and the destruction of the first temple by the Babylonians on the other end. The first section of the Prophets is followed by Nevi'im Achronim, which consists of the books of Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and the 12 minor prophets, which are collected in a single volume. Remember that this section of the Prophets is not told in prose, is not arranged in a linear and chronological fashion, but describes in poetry some of the major challenges and difficulties and triumphs as well of the Jewish people during the period leading up to the destruction of the first temple, which is to say that the prophets who are active in the second half of Nevi'im, all of them really belong to the period of time, roughly the 8th century BCE until the destruction of the temple in the 6th century BCE, a couple of centuries of activity, i.e., chronologically speaking, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Yechezkel, and the 12 minor prophets really are all active, just about, towards the end of the Book of Kings. I say nearly all, because the three last members of the 12 minor prophets, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, are active when the Jews return from Babylon and the second temple is rebuilt. So 9 out of the 12 really are active before the destruction of the first temple, and the final 3, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, are active when the second temple is rebuilt. That is the story of the return from Babylon and the beginning of the second Jewish commonwealth. The Book of Jonah, as I mentioned, is part of this collection called Treasar, or the 12 Minor Prophets. The rabbis tell us in Talmud Bavli Tractate Baba Batra that this section of the Hebrew Bible was compiled and edited by a group of people known as Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, the Great Assembly, which was active when the people returned from Babylon. And the reason why these 12 prophetic works were collected in a single volume was because that by and large, they are very, very short. Bear in mind that in ancient times, texts were written, certainly in Israel, texts were written on parchment if they were particularly important, and preserving them was always challenging. Sometimes we have the misconception that the Hebrew Bible constitutes the complete literary output of ancient Israel, but that's actually not the case. The Hebrew Bible is the literary output of ancient Israel, which was preserved for posterity, often at great effort and great expense. In order to ensure that these 12 short prophetic works would survive, they were collected, according to the rabbis in the Talmud, by the people of the Great Assembly into a single volume. And in that single volume, they would essentially stand a better chance at preservation, since each one by itself was relatively short. I might point out, for instance, that really the shortest book in the Hebrew Bible is in the 12 minor prophets. That is the book of Ovadia, which only is 21 verses long. The book of Jonah is also relatively short. It's only 47 verses long. So in order to ensure that the book of Jonah be preserved, and the other books in the 12 minor prophets, these short works are collected and assembled into a single volume, and it's really that single volume, Treyasar, which constitutes the final section of the Nevi'im, of the prophets in the Tanakh. Some of the prophets in this section called Treyasar are active during a specific period, the period of a king in Israel known as Yerovam, sometimes known as Yerovam the Second, but really in the Hebrew Bible, he is Yerovam ben Yehoash. And Yerovam is active really on the eve of the Assyrian invasion of the country. That Assyrian invasion will ultimately culminate with the destruction of the northern kingdom of Israel and the exile of the so-called 10 tribes to Assyria. Hosea and Amos, for instance, are active during the lifetime of Yerovam ben Yoash, as is our own Jonah from Sefer Yonah. But you may not realize that from Sefer Yonah itself. It's only from the Book of Kings that we know that this is when Jonah is actually active. If I were to describe the period of Yerovam ben Yoash, the king of Israel, I would say it was like the Indian summer of the northern kingdom. Remember that after Solomon died, the kingdom was divided into north and south. The northern kingdom with its capital at Shomron or Samaria, the southern kingdom with its capital at Jerusalem. Sometimes these two kingdoms were allies. Often they were in a hostile relationship with each other. And because they were rather small kingdoms, they were often at the mercy at the larger empires that ruled the region. In the 9th century and in the 8th century, the Assyrian Empire, whose capital is at Nineveh on the Tigris River, begins to be felt in the region. Ultimately, that empire will be succeeded by the Babylonians, and it will be the Babylonians that will destroy the first temple at Jerusalem. The Assyrians, however, are the empire that exiles the northern kingdom, the so-called 10 tribes. This is the kingdom in which prophets such as Hosea and Amos and Jonah, for that matter, are active. Contrast to the southern kingdom, which generally experienced political stability because kings transferred their power through a hereditary line from David downwards. In the northern kingdom, the throne was occupied by different dynasties. Sometimes these dynasties were long-lived, often they were short-lived, and the end of a dynasty always meant in the northern kingdom that the final king in that dynasty had been assassinated and replaced by the king of the new dynasty that came to the throne. So in the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, where Jonah is active, the dynasties follow each other in relatively quick succession. The longest lived dynasty in the Northern Kingdom is the dynasty associated with a king called Yerovam ben Joash. And as I said, this is the king during whose lifetime some of the great prophets of the social justice ideas were active. Again, I'm thinking of Hosea and Amos, and as we will see, Jonah himself.
Thank you to our Pardes faculty, and thank you to you, our learners. Make sure to check back in at the beginning of each week to stay on track with your Elul learning, and visit www.pardes.org.il for more information about Pardes and our programs.